Welcome to Wednesday, March 20th. I'm John Weigel here with Noel Medina, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today, we're diving into the economics of dating. Americans spend nearly $200 billion on it every year, and even given fluctuations in the U.S. economy and inflation, people still continue to sink their funds into it. But are people starting to rethink this immense spending? I'm hoping we can answer that question today with the help of Noel Medina, who produced a video about the economics of dating on the Hustle YouTube channel. But before that, let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. Starting with a big sad scoop, Unilever is making its ice cream division, which includes Ben & Jerry's, Magnum, Breyers, and others, into a standalone business and cutting about 7,500 jobs to boost growth and save $870 million over the next 3 years. Next, moving to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is taking a step towards its plan to make half of its products with recycled material by 2030. Starting this week, all 20-ounce Coke bottles in the U.S. will be made from 100% recycled plastic. Isn't that nice? Next, TikTok will now factor a search value metric into payouts through its Creator Rewards monetization program. Basically, search engine optimization for TikTok, creators will be paid in part based on how well their content answers user searches. So TikTok leaning into becoming more of a search platform going forward. Next, AI hardware producer NVIDIA announced its new Blackwell chip, which it says it's 7 to 300 times faster than its H100 chip, but it uses 25 times less power. It's gonna cost you, though. One chip is estimated to cost $30,000 to $40,000. I do not want a bag of chips from them. And finally, the return-to-office battle continues. Dell reportedly told employees that those who don't work in office at least 3 times per week are ineligible for promotions. Now on to the main story. We are joined by Noel Medina, who produced a video for the Hustle YouTube channel about the economics of dating. As stated up top, dating is getting quite expensive, so we're digging into what people are actually doing about it. So let's get into it. Welcome, Noel. Thanks for joining us again after your wonderful Super Bowl Hustlenomics episode last month. We're diving into dating this month. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And dating, I don't even know what to say about it.
It's also doing well, I guess.
It's crazy. It's doing well. It's expensive out there. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued, first of all, in how much dating has gotten to be when you're going out. Things are getting really expensive out there.
Yeah.
How much on average do people spend on dating nowadays?
So yeah, I mean, it's no secret that everything has gotten more expensive. And of course, that would bleed into our love lives. At some point, it was inevitable. And here we are spending roughly $130 a month on dating. Now, that is according to Match Group, which is the company that owns over 45 dating app brands. You're probably familiar with some of them. We've got Tinder, The League, and Hinge. Mm-hmm. So they ran a survey in 2022. It's their annual Singles in America survey, and found that most single adults in the US on average are spending $130. That covers matchmakers, dating app subscriptions, activities, appearance and grooming, etc. However, as you'll note in our video on the Hustle YouTube channel on the economics of dating, I went out and interviewed people on the streets of San Diego, and I asked them, how much do you spend on dating in a month? And the answers were all over the map. Someone told me $500 a month. Another person said $50 a month.
Wow.
So it really depends.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's clearly very expensive.
Really wide options, it seems like, that people gave you. But since I guess dating is getting more expensive, are there any date options that millennials, Gen Zs, kind of people who are looking for that relationship have been moving towards or starting to do more of than your, I guess, traditional dinner?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, with inflation, so many people are starting to infladate. Now, that's a term that I learned while I was researching this video from Rachel DeAlto, who is the chief connection officer at Match Group. So yeah, Plenty of Fish coined this term infladating. It's basically going on more budget-friendly dates to essentially just spend less on dating. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different options out there. Some of the options that I heard when I was talking to people in San Diego were going on a hike, going on a picnic, drawing, even just like hanging at home, Netflix and chilling, that is infliating, I guess.
I guess so, right.
Yeah. I also talked to Mark Dent, one of our Hustle Sunday writers, and he told me that one of the respondents to a dating survey that we did back in 2023 said that they went on a date at Whole Foods. They met up with someone. They shopped around, which Whole Foods, not that cheap.
No.
But still, I mean, I guess cheaper than going out to a steakhouse.
Right.
They shopped around, bought a couple snacks, and then sat in like that seating area and just watched TikToks. That was the date. Which I personally, like, I love that.
That's really exciting to hear, actually, that people are getting a little more creative
yeah.
with these simpler ideas that don't require as much money. Because as you said, if people are going on a lot of dates, you're going to be spending a lot of money. And the thing about spending money on dates, I think this kind of brings us to a different, maybe more gendered question.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to more, I guess, cis relationships,
yeah.
who is paying for the date? Obviously, we know traditionally a man pays, I guess, as my mother would have taught me when I was growing up. But what about now? Who's paying for these dates most of the time?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I think most people expect whoever asks for the date, essentially whoever is initiating the date should then pay, should pick up the bill at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I think traditionally that role has been assumed more so by men. However, when the Hustle conducted its own dating survey, the one I just mentioned, it found that about 83% of men said that they pay for a date, which, you know, makes sense. And 1% said that they never pay. However, the women that were surveyed, 49% of them said that they typically pay for a date, and only 5% say that they never pay. So
someone's got to be bending the truth a little bit.
I feel like someone's lying here, maybe. I don't know. Everyone's had different experiences. I talked to someone in San Diego and she told me that for her, it really just depends. She said that sometimes she's paid, other times they've split. But she told me a really funny story that she was out with a guy and she wasn't quite sure, right? There's always that like dance when the bill comes. You're like,
yeah,
oh, should I reach for it? Should I not?
I know it well.
You know it well. Yeah, we all do. So I guess this guy grabs the bill, puts his card down. The waitress takes it away. And then he leans over the table and says, hey, can you Venmo me?
Oh my God. I mean, that's a whole nother thing about it. It's just keeping up the appearances as well and being that person to, I guess, pay for the date. I mean, you might want to look like a big presence in front of waitstaff,
yeah.
but that's crazy. That's really funny too.
But like the reality is that, I mean, it's just so expensive with the economy, as you mentioned. I think it's okay to be really honest and upfront about what you can afford and what you can't afford. Just be yourself, you know, bring your whole self to the date and bring transparency about your financial situation too.
Yeah.
Because that becomes a big part of the relationship.
And talk to me more about your conversation with Rachel D'Alto. You said she was the chief connection officer of Match Group.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you kind of took away from your conversation with her. I feel like more couples and more people are on dating apps now than ever.
She is so interesting. She is an expert in relatability. So I had so many questions for her and a couple of the key takeaways. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a date or even on dating apps. She recommends always trying the free version of an app first and then deciding where you want to invest your dollars. I wasn't really expecting that answer, but it does make a lot of sense because there are so many options out there. So it's really cool to know you can try that freemium version, see how it works out for you. If you're not getting the results you want or meeting the people you want, then maybe you try that $8.99 or $30 whatever subscription plan and see how it goes. The other interesting takeaway was she said, as far as like date spots go, especially for a first date, she suggests always doing a first date at night.
Ooh, okay.
So yeah, like no coffee dates. Go to a restaurant, go to a bar, go take a walk in the park, you know, obviously make sure other people are around. It kind of just creates more of a vibe and a little bit less pressure that can really kind of help you get to that second date and know if you want to go to that second date a bit quicker.
I guess that makes sense. Coffee dates always read pretty professional to me.
Yeah.
So.
Not to mention like too much caffeine for me personally is never good.
Would be a very one-sided date, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
We kind of talked about how many people are on dating apps nowadays. Is that the most dominant way to meet somebody nowadays?
Yeah.
I mean, are people kind of bumping into each other and meeting at bars or anything like that anymore. I'm sure there are, but is it more than, for example, a dating app?
Yeah, no. I mean, I hate to break it to all the hopeless romantics out there. I am one of them. Not many people are meeting in grocery stores or like on the subway anymore. So yeah, the meet cutes, they're not really happening that way in person. Oh. More people, according to Forbes Health, are meeting on dating apps. Some people are meeting like at concerts, but primarily people are meeting online.
Okay.
No surprise.
Not surprising, but a little sad.
A little sad. When I was in San Diego, I asked people, how are you meeting people? Or even some of the people that were in relationships, majority of them said dating apps. And majority said Hinge, too. So that seems to be a pretty popular one these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I met my girlfriend on Hinge, so
boom,
I'm right there with them.
There you go.
And going back to what we were talking before about paying for these dating apps, like I know Hinge has a subscription fee associated with it, or it can. Bumble does, Tinder does. I mean, they're all kind of getting these subscription-based services that you can pay a monthly premium for. How many people actually use those? And do you think in your mind, from your research, that they're actually worth the money?
So Pew Research conducted a survey back in 2022 that they published in 2023, and they found that a third of all online daters, so whether you're using a dating app or you're just using an online service, are paying for some sort of premium feature or subscription. So it's a pretty significant percentage of the population, I would say. I think it's like half of all US adults at one point now have been on some sort of dating app or use some sort of online dating service. And as far as whether or not it's worth it, if you spend more, does that increase your chances of finding love? I can't say for sure. But in theory, if you have a large dating budget and you want to throw a lot of money at that problem, you absolutely can. I mean, Match Group, on their dating apps, they offer $3 a la carte purchases, as well as $2,500 a month dating app subscriptions.
Oh, okay.
So you can spend a lot of money. Now, are you guaranteed to find love? No. But if it makes you feel better, and if you feel like you're gaining traction, then why not?
Yeah. Why not neglect to pay your rent and instead try to find love instead? That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. Yeah.
So romantic. Finally, I kind of want to wrap up here with one more question. It seems like you found a lot of surprising things from either Rachel D'Alto or your research or just conversations with people on the street. Was there something that was the most surprising to you that you found out through this entire process?
Yes. I think the most surprising thing is that even when inflation is high, even when the economy is struggling, people are still willing to spend quite a bit of money on their love lives. And the other thing too is that dating, I mean, it goes all the way back to the late 1800s. When women in particular were moving to these more industrious cities in the US, which is so funny. My mind immediately goes to Sex and the City. Like, that is the premise of that show. If we're willing to uproot our lives to find love, why wouldn't we be willing to then, you know, pay an arm and a leg as well?
Yeah. So we should all carry Bradshaw a little more.
Yeah.
Essentially.
A little more.
Well, thank you, Noelle, for being here and talking about your research.
Thanks,
and definitely,
John.
If you're listening right now, go check out the video on the Hustle YouTube channel if you have not yet. All right, that's going to do it for us today, everybody. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.